Please Don't Argue with Facts, episode 2. We here with Chadwick, Do Right, Can't Do No Wrong. We got Corey Moe over here.
Yes.
I got two special guests in the building with me, man. This should be very fun. I got to my right, my guy, Paul Joyner, jiu-jitsu master, libertarian slash conservative, Republican. Across from Paul, we got my main man, Caleb Martin.
What's up?
Single songwriter, guitarist, very liberal, Democrat. How you doing, fellas?
Good, man.
Great.
I wanted you guys here because I'm friends with both of you guys, and I've been friends with both of you for a good time now. And so I've had very different conversations with you. I know you guys have very strong opinions, and you guys are on opposite sides of the aisle. So I wanted to be fair to both of you guys and be fair to everyone to get the opinions on both sides of the aisle.
I think I just came here to prove that you can have civil discourse without, you know, getting to name calling. And
amen.
Hey, do y'all have a problem with that on Facebook, man? Because
I think that the beauty of Facebook is that it gives everybody a platform. The problem with Facebook is that it gives everybody a platform. That's right. You got some people who think they know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And when they actually talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about, they get insulted. Their intelligence and their pride gets hurt. And that's where you get into the WTOK comment section.
What I see on Facebook is that everybody, even when you're on Facebook, you got to talk like the person's right there in front of you. And people forget that, man, and they get all mad and angry and everything. And
I've had many people say stuff to me on Facebook that I know for a fact they would never say it to me.
Exactly.
Everybody's a keyboard warrior, though, man. And one thing I figured out on Facebook, man, is that everybody wants to be heard, but nobody wants to listen.
Everybody wants to be right is what it is.
Everybody wants to be right.
Everybody wants to be right.
And if you tell them they're wrong, they're going to block you.
They're going to cuss you out first, then block you. Their dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I only blocked one person, and then I felt so guilty about it. I went back to him and said, man, I'm sorry.
Man. Really?
Oh, you are
the first person in history to do that.
What?
Go back and apologize for blocking.
I've never blocked anybody, but I've been blocked.
Yeah.
I get blocked, too. I notice I haven't seen messages from people, and I go, oh, man, I guess they blocked me, man.
I've been blocked and unfriended, and I look at my time hop. Like, when you post something from last year and see who all unfriended me, I'm like, why did you unfriend me? Guys, now, we got a few things on the table. First thing I want to discuss is, I remember way back in 2016 when I was looking at the presidential campaign, and I thought it was a joke that Trump was running, and I figured, well, he's just here to have a little fun. And as we kept going, the train kept rolling. He really became the Teflon Don. And it seemed like nothing he did would stick to him, man. And eventually, we end up now in 2019, and now he's president for a few years now. Looking ahead to the 2020 election, we know a few people are on the table. We just see Beto O'Rourke. He's on the table. Kamala Harris on the table. Who's the other one, Corey? Bernie Sanders.
Elizabeth Warren, running for president right now.
The Democratic pool is
and I just want to come here today to announce my presidency.
who the vice president? Kanye West. Kanye West.
Kanye West.
You made a choice. Hey, but thinking about that, looking ahead to 2020, is there anyone that can beat Donald Trump right now?
I'll be honest with you. I'm just surprised we've already gotten to this point. It just seems like I know it's been 2 years, but it doesn't seem like he's been in office very long.
It doesn't feel like it.
Maybe because it wasn't all accomplished in the three.
I don't know, man. But that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, here we are again. Like, my question is the Republican Party going to back Donald Trump for re-election? Do you think they're going to back him for re-election, or do you think they're going to present a new candidate?
I don't know. See, that's
because I can't tell how they feel about him.
Well, I think a good indication of how they feel is just on this wall issue. We had 12 Republicans just recently.
I think that's a temper tantrum
to me. Well, he's got 90% approval of the Republicans, so just so you know that. So it's going to be hard. Biden could have beat him the first time around. Obama should have nominated him then. He had a chance, but now he's then got some achievements behind him. So,
do you think Biden can beat him now, Paul?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Come on now. You got something up there.
Well, I think, I don't know. It's tight.
I think Beto can beat him. And the reason I think Beto could beat him, because I was thinking about this when he announced, like, this is like, he's got a very JFK feel to him. You know what I mean? Handsome looking guy,
yeah.
Honest about his past, you know what I mean? Like, he's kind of an open book as far as that's concerned.
You've seen the news today, right?
What's that?
He was in that, that hacking team, some group of underground hackers or something like that.
Oh, because he owned a technology company.
Yeah,
he was a council member in El Paso. Or something like that. I don't know.
See,
I hadn't read that, so I can't speak on that.
Is Biden gonna throw his name in the race?
You guys, absolutely. Biden's going in, man.
I don't think he wants to, man.
You don't think so?
I think he's.
You don't think so?
I don't think Bernie should run either. Don't get me wrong, I love Bernie. I love Bernie, and I voted for him in the primary last year. Mm-hmm. And I would have voted for him if he had been the Democratic candidate. Mm-hmm. I ended up voting Gary Johnson and Bill Weld instead, though. And honestly, I voted just for Bill Weld, not necessarily because of Bill Weld's running as a Republican candidate. He's or a Libertarian candidate in this next election too.
Oh, that's good.
I like Bill Weld. I like what he did when he was governor. I think he's a smart guy. He's a common sense guy.
So you didn't throw it in for Hillary, huh?
No.
Well, you're a good man.
No.
Okay. Let's get to that. Okay, why not Hillary?
Well, see, I've been listening to the Clintons since 1992, and. When I first saw Bill playing that trumpet, that saxophone, I was like, oh, man, look at this guy. And then I really believe he is a sexual predator beyond anything. The thing is worse, is usually when you're a sexual predator, you know, his wife, being who she is, should, like, get on that man about that, but she gives him a slide. Okay.
Sexual predator is a strong statement, right?
I believe Juanita was raped by him. I believe it.
Okay.
Not just sexual rape.
Womanizer is different in a sense than sexual predator.
Sexual predator
is more of like, I'm going to physically do something or something against you.
Then so is JFK and so is LBJ.
Exactly.
Like, have y'all heard Juanita Broderick's story about what Bill Clinton did to her? She went up to his room. He threw her down on the bed. He bit her lip. Her lip was so almost bit in half. And she reported, was scared to death. She went to report it and was more afraid of Hillary because Hillary came up to her like a week later and says, went over to her and said, we are so proud of what you do for us. And she got so scared of Hillary, she went and threw up in the bathroom. So I believe Juanita. So Bill's a predator.
My not voting for Hillary didn't have anything to do really with any of that. My not voting for Hillary was I think that you were going to get – if you vote for Hillary, you're voting for pretty much four more years of the same. Like the Clinton's administration and the Obama's administration, if you look at the kind of votes that they put forward, the kind of bills that they pass and stuff like that, they're not too terribly different as far as that's concerned. I didn't vote for Hillary because I feel like she was a shill for the DNC. The DNC, the Democratic Party, screwed Bernie out of that election.
They screwed Bernie out of that election,
and they put forth Hillary because she was. I mean, nothing was going to change. I mean, our economic growth probably would have kept trickling. You know, getting a little bit better by better. But I didn't want that. I wanted.
You wanted hardcore.
I wanted real change. I wanted real. I didn't want. The fairy tale.
See,
anymore,
I kind of see Obama was like a, you know, he's a good man, you know, he's a good family man, he's a, you know, he's socialist leaning, of course, but he's still a good man and everything. The Clintons, though, are like, they've been doing it since college, man.
I'm not talking about their stance. I'm not talking about their morality or.
Not their morality,
or,
I mean man, their
I'm
politics.
Talking about just their political,
yeah.
Their programs and stuff that they put forth. Like, they're not too far from the norm as far as, you know, a Democratic president is concerned.
And I think Caleb made a good point. Hillary failed to galvanize the people. I think she thought that she could just run off what Obama did and just be a retread of that. And so she didn't really galvanize. I think she didn't even go to, was it Wisconsin? She didn't campaign in Wisconsin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think she just feel like, hey, I got it in the bag because I'm running against Trump.
You don't think she put hot sauce on her chicken?
Now that was sad, too. That whole thing, that was disgusting, man.
It was just really bland. She came out with the same old, we're going to work on the economy.
She's a robot, dude.
Yeah, she really was.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I think there are a lot of things wrong with this past election. I don't I don't know how I feel about the Russia thing. I really don't, because I kind of feel like the same people, the people with the mindset, the birther mindset from Obama's administration are the same people, have the same mindset as the people who think that Russia conspired to get Trump elected.
Okay, can I do something real quick? I just want to do this real quick, because, I mean, like Chad, know y'all Facebook friends and y'all share y'all opinions, but for the people that may be watching, I want to just get to know who y'all are individually. How do y'all become, form your own ideology? Like, how okay. did y'all, like start with you? Like, what made you, why do you lean the way you lean?
Well, I just really am into individual rights. I believe that it's more than, it means everything to me. And I believe that the Constitution, our Bill of Rights in America is so unique. I mean, it's like, you know, in Canada, you can't even talk about the in Europe, you can't even talk about the politicians 3 months before it starts. You can't say, oh, Trump sucks or Hillary sucks. They don't have free speech. They don't have the Second Amendment. So as a libertarian, I just love individual rights, and it doesn't matter. I see Democrats take away my rights a lot of times. Republicans take away my rights a lot of times. So I'm always, but I just usually end up going on the right side, especially Democrats getting crazy right now, leaning towards socialism. And to me, socialism is the opposite of individual rights. Now, I'm not saying social programs. I'm saying socialism cannot operate with individual rights. They get in the way of their plans. Okay. So I'm just an individual rights activist.
Okay. I mean, I'm a younger guy. I grew up during the Clinton and Bush administrations, and I got, you know, benefits from both of that. You know, I think what swung me to lean a little more left was the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, that type of thing has kind of pushed me to the left a little bit more, because I think that they are money-making schemes. I don't think that these wars are legitimate. I think that we could have taken care of the problem a lot easier, a lot simpler, and a lot cheaper than what it's being done right now. And because so much of our budget has gone towards these forever wars, we don't have the money for the social programs and stuff that we need for our society to work.
Well, and you know what? It's funny that Caleb bring that up, because I wanted to bring up a point to you guys. You know, after 9/11, we invaded Iraq. That was in 2001. Mm-hmm. They said this is the first year, 2019, that sons and daughters can fight in the same war that their mothers and fathers fought in.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
If you had a kid in 2001, they're now 18, and they are able to now fight in the same war that you possibly have fought in and may still be fighting in. Mm-hmm. And I wholeheartedly agree with Caleb. Mm-hmm. I think some of these wars are contrived, you know, my conspiracy brain.
They're wars of contrition. They have no conceivable end, and there are a lot of people who are benefiting economically. And, you know, Halliburton, Lockheed Martin, all these companies, they are making money over fist from government contracts for this type of thing.
Right. Well, Hillary wasn't going to change that for sure.
Hillary
is one thing I liked about her was she was going to.
If I have a political stance on anything, I'm anti-war. Okay. I'm anti-war right now. Okay. The world is too big. The internet is too big for this kind of stuff to continue. You know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we need to shut down our government installations in these other countries, because, number one, those countries are economically dependent on the soldiers that we send over there. The young kids with more money than they've ever seen, even though it's only like $30,000 a year, more money than they've ever had in their entire life, going over there and spending their money and keeping those towns alive. If you take that away, bad news bears. But I don't think that this is going to be, if they want that piece of sand so bad, let them have it. I don't care anymore.
Right.
It's like, you cannot force democracy on some societies. Can't do it.
I mean, I was just like, listen to both of y'all explain to where y'all positions it. What I seen was two different people growing up in two different eras. I seen you grow up in a time where socialism was a heavily like impactful thing when you grew up. Then I listened to him, and his thing was, it seemed like you said you wanted more individualism. He seemed like his was more of the Iraqis, the you know that type of scheme. And I can see how that has switched over the past 10, 20, 30 years. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I think
from those ideologies.
Well, I mean, China and Russia are both socialist countries, and if you think that they're just going to sit back while we pull everything back, mm-hmm. well, socialism, and they're not nice socialists either. They're going to take over the world for sure.
Yeah.
And like right now, you know, even people's thinking, oh, China's they have a higher approval rating than America right now. China does because, you know, they're investing in their countries and they're doing
and
all that.
But,
man, you don't – I know people who live in China right now.
A lot of money, too.
I know people live in China right now, and, man, they are living off the capitalism because they know – they realize that, well, you have to have capitalism to live off of, but they're still – they're super strict on individual rights. There are no individual rights in China.
I guess what makes me lean left is that I believe that the government should be responsible for infrastructure, police force, FBI, whatever, you know, those government programs. Number one, that creates jobs.
Infrastructure security.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Those three things, state police, that type of thing. I think that the government should be responsible for those types of things. What I don't think that the government should be responsible for is... Number one, how you make your money. If you want to make your money a certain way, if you're a capitalist, you believe that you should be able to make your money that way. Mm-hmm. That's free market, laissez-faire. Mm-hmm. Let it be. Mm-hmm. You know, it works. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the people who work in the government should be able to vote to give themselves a raise. That is garbage to me. Number three, I think that we need to have term limits in the House of Representatives and the Senate, because the same guy that has been sitting in his Senate seat for 50 or 60 years now does not connect with me on a social manner, economically, he does not represent the majority of people. There are more millennials than there are baby boomers, the same way there are more baby boomers than there were the great generation.
That's right. And I feel the same way even on the local level with our state here, Mississippi. We do need term limits. We need fresh people in, fresh ideas in, new people with.
I don't know how many senators they said were actually not elected. They were actually nominated by the senator that was in there before him, like our last six senators or something.
Yeah.
So they're like handed down.
Handed down to what they want to carry
on.
It's
the ultimate example of nepotism, pretty much. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that government work and representing people should go back to being what it was supposed to be, a civil service, not a career.
I mean, it's crazy.
If you're gonna go to law school because you want to become a politician, go to law school, become a lawyer for a few years, do your 8 to 12 years in the Senate, get out, write a book, make millions of dollars that way. Okay, like that's
well,
power is the currency, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not about the money to them.
It's about the power.
It's about the power. Power is the currency. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, some of these guys have more power than the president.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so that's their.
Well, that's one of the cool things about Trump right there is that he is not a politician. He's never been a politician. Don't know how to act like a politician. Don't know how to. So that's one of the things I like about him, actually.
I don't like that about him.
Hillary can talk in these beautiful bubbles, like 30 minutes. She can tell you, go. What did she just say? She didn't say anything. He can say three sentences, and it's like headline news for the next 4 days.
It's like
we talk on a job site, and I appreciate that.
Now, let me see. What I don't like about that is, it's like, if I've been playing basketball for 20 years, I know how to play basketball. I know how to coach a team. I know how to tell you how to play up. I know this. I know that. I know ins and outs of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you never played basketball in your life, and then you tell me to go in and coach the Lakers, it's not going to go the way you want it to go.
Yeah, but we were just talking about term limits, though.
But I'm just saying, like, if I played the game long enough, not necessarily been in that position, but played the game, you know what I mean?
Right. He played the game. I mean, he knows how to, you know, he's been – now, I always laughed at him. Personally, before, I never watched – what was his show, The Apprentice? Yeah. I never watched that. I always used to laugh. He's like, what is this dude with his hair? And it's going over. And I used to just laugh at him. So, but, you know, I appreciate – you know, like when they were saying, you know, like the first one I remember laughing big at was when they went – you know, you said these bad things about Rose, you know, all these different people. And he said, well, that was Rosie O'Donnell's, you know, and that was just classic, man. So anyway.
Now, Paul, let me ask you, because you're a Republican.
Yeah. Well,
and so I'm gonna have you speak. I'm gonna have
you.
You
said libertarian.
I'll be honest with you. I think Paul and I have a lot more in common.
I do too.
Most people do. Actually,
I think everybody does.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I think everybody does. Exactly. I think
civil discourse is what it takes.
Yeah,
and that's why I need to have the conversation. Paul, now let me ask you this: how were you guys able? Because we heard the rhetoric that Trump was spewing out when he say things like Mexico sent over their murderers and rapists and
shithole countries, I think was one.
And I can go in the middle of the street and shoot somebody and still not lose a follower and, you know, mocking reporters that are handicapped. How did you guys reconcile that?
I mean, completely lying about that wall to get off.
First off, I've seen the thing on the handicap one where he actually has made that motion several times on being like that. And so I don't believe he was mocking the handicap guy. Which other one are you talking about?
Listen.
You know, there's a lot of them, right?
Right, but how do you guys reconcile the things that he said with, hey, we're going to vote for him?
Because Hillary, again, that's who she ran with. People say, why are we bringing up Hillary? Well, that's who he was running against, right? Her person that she thought was her hero in the Senate was a former KKK Grand Wizard.
Who was this?
Senator Byrd. That's who showed her the way. He was a Democrat ex-Klan member. That's who she said was her mentor in the Senate, all right? Mm. And then her other mentor, she said, is the woman that's in charge of that created a Planned Parenthood. What's her name? The founder of Planned Parenthood. I apologize. Anyway, that's her other hero, and she was for eugenics. She started Planned Parenthood to lower the African-American population through abortion. So if that's her two mentors, that's reality right there. So I don't care the bubbles she talks in or what she doesn't or do. But it's what she's doing, though. So she's doing racist stuff, supporting racist stuff. You know, Trump just... He's just saying what he's saying. And I don't believe he's a racist. I believe, like most people, I grew up knowing racists. I was in the Marine Corps. I met some racists from California that scared the hell out of me. I mean, some badass racists. And, you know, and I knew, I was on 45th Avenue here when I was a kid, and the Klan was doing a roadblock where they was asking for money. And they come up to my hood with their hoods on, asking for money on 45th and 8th Street right down here.
That's great.
Right? So anyway, I think most people have prejudices. And there are racists, you know, there are racists everywhere. I mean, you see them, but I believe he has prejudices, just like Obama did, you know, when he said, hey, my grandma's a typical white woman. You know, it's a prejudiced kind of thing to say, but it's not racist. And so I believe he's prejudiced, but not racist.
I mean, I believe he is a narcissist.
Well, he's narcissist.
I believe. I don't think he gives a damn about anybody.
I can't argue with that. But so is Hillary. Again, so is Bill.
I think that the difference is that, Trump has said these things publicly, and it's gone on record that he said these things. But how do we know that the other politicians are not saying those exact same things? They're just not saying it in front of a microphone.
Yeah. That's true. That's
no politics.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying about Hillary. No, I mean, come
right?
on.
And that's one thing everybody loves about Trump. They say, oh, he just tells it like
he's
it is.
He's a straight talker, I tell you what.
If that's the case, I mean, like, if that's the case, then I got to take him at his word then, right? If he's a straight talker, he's direct, I got to take him at his word, right?
Well, you know, a lot of stuff you hear, like, it's so, the media just, like, the one that sticks out in my mind the most, you know, I lived in Japan 3 years, and it shows him walking out there with the prime minister of Japan, and he dumps all his fish food into the koi where the big old goldfish are at and everything. And I'm like, God, that was rude, you know? But then I saw the whole clip, and the Japanese prime minister dumped his whole bowl first, and then Trump copied it. But all CNN showed was, so, man, it's a frame. They take little words and little clips, and they... You know,
sensationalism, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can say that about him, but we also go back to the Obama years. Mm-hmm. They made a big deal out of a suit.
Yeah, dude.
A tan suit.
The beige suit was a big deal for some reason.
I'm like, well, how is this? This is front page news. He wore a tan suit to some...
It was a State of the Union address.
Was it State of the Union?
If I'm not mistaken, it was.
It was like, it was something that... And then he wore a tan suit, and it was like this uproar. About a tan suit, and that's not the only thing. It was so much about Obama, and that's what I don't like. Like, if you're gonna do that, keep the same energy on both sides. I believe in keeping the same energy. If you're gonna talk and you're gonna make things up and do things like this is why I think racism plays a prejudice takes, because if you are gonna take the same things Obama did and you put it on Trump, it'll be a whole different. You wouldn't even hold. Couldn't hold him to the same type of accountability, For real,
crazy. I think the individuals don't hold themselves to a certain amount of accountability, because the same people today forcing you to say he's your president, he's our president, are the same people that were telling
sharing, you to tell
no, no, that were sharing names of like burning an Obama effigy.
Right, but see, on that one, you can't have it.
And I've seen that on the other side too. I've seen people that was like, when people were like, Obama's not my president, he's like, then people saying it, and the people saying now, I've seen the same thing happen.
Yeah, well, it's convenient to say now.
On that one there, you know, I was, Obama was running against McCain to start off with, so it was an easy choice for me. It was the first African American president running against McCain, so I supported Obama. And just like I support, so I've supported both of them. There's like, they say there's 20% of the people that actually voted for Obama, then went to Trump. One of those guys, and I love Obama. I know he did. He doesn't do a lot of things I didn't appreciate. Trump's doing some things I don't appreciate, but I respect both of them. I think they're my president. Both of them are my president. And
somebody made a comment to me, and it stuck with me. And they said that the reason why Democrats sometimes lose is that we're looking for the perfect candidate. Mm. While Republicans just go with the flow and they kind of toe the line. They know that their candidate may not be perfect, but they still just roll with them because they want their person back in power while we're looking for the perfect candidate. So if we have a Kamala Harris that's been against prison reform or something of that nature, we just kind of dismiss her.
I think a lot of that's why you see Beto running now, because he's the best, he's the better looking candidate. Like he gave Ted Cruz the most run for his money that he has ever had
because they sent money from every place in the United States of America to pay for the guy. It's not going to be Beto, man. Give up on it, man.
I don't think it'd be Beto.
I want to know why.
Well, like you were saying the other day, his hands were flying all around, and then he's trying to ride his skateboard and stuff and show everybody what's up. Beto ain't gonna make it, man. Beto. He lost in his own state. You can't.
He lost. He lost by 1% to an incumbent Republican president in the most red state.
But he had money coming. He had so much money.
Yeah, but how much of it was from PAC?
I think the shine is already wearing off that pearl, and it's gonna off that diamond.
Man, he raised money from all across the United States, but he didn't take a single dime from PACs. And I guarantee you, he raised more than double the money that Ted Cruz did the entire election.
It's gonna be Bernie or Biden. You just got
see. I love. Who's gonna be their vice president? I personally love Bernie Sanders, and I think what hurt Bernie Sanders outside of Hillary already having a super delegates kind of in her back pocket initially was that people didn't know his backstory. And to African Americans, historically, our biggest threat has been an old white guy. So all we knew about Bernie was that he was an old white guy. But when we actually had someone like Killer Mike step in, that's in our community, say, we have images of Bernie Sanders in protests with black women, then we kind of understood that he was really a good guy. He was fair-minded, but it was already too late. But he did really well, though.
The two biggest things going against Bernie,
what he speaks about a lot. Socialism is a big scare thing.
It's a heavy word, and it carries a lot with it. But I think the two biggest things, if you were to hear somebody argue it in the South, he's never had a real job would be the first thing that they
never had
say.
A real job.
Never had a real job would be the first thing.
He
that
visited
they
Russia to, you know, tell them how good their trains are running and stuff. It's working good over here.
He tags socialism onto what his political agenda or his political idea
socialism
is.
Scares everybody, man.
It does, man. One of my favorite gifs is the gif of when he goes socialism. that's my favorite one. But I think the thing is it can't be it cannot be a dirty word, because you have to give credence.
Dirty.
It's not a dirty word.
It's a dirty, dirty, dirty word. It is the opposite
of
the individual
between,
right.
That's what I'm saying. That's the difference between.
You can't go. I'm not talking like social programs. Like when I grew up, there was Matty Hearst in the health department. I was poor. I'd go to the health department, right? Yeah. Now what we've done is ruined the whole healthcare system for everybody, for the poor people. You know, let's just give the little poor people some charity like they
ruined
the whole system.
I really think it's the era you grew up with that has you with that, though. I think it's the era you grew up in. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing that you had that. I just understand where you came from.
Right.
What your understanding of that word. Like somebody like us who, you know,
right.
Didn't really
I guess if you know
that,
what individual rights means and how valuable they are, you understand that every country in the world doesn't have our Bill of Rights. It's none of them do. Mm-hmm. None. It's not even close. And so, to me, that's what, man, I stand my ground on that Bill of Rights. Protecting the individual from the mob. The smallest minority is the individual, and that's who I'm fighting for.
I think, like, in life, right, there's a balance scale, and there's a pendulum. And when things swing too far one way, like, say, this is capitalism. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like,
and again,
at its highest point,
capitalism, though, is okay. An economic system best suited for free
individuals. I'm just saying, listen. Okay. I think to get back to balance, you got to add a little bit of this socialism, baby. You know what I'm saying? It's like you got to swing that pillar back down to get to the
Denmark
middle.
Like Denmark and all them. They're all, you know, they are not, they even, I think the president was of Denmark came out and said, hey, we're not socialists. We've got a big welfare state, but we believe in capitalism.
They really, their system really is closer to what we actually had in the late 40s and through the 50s and stuff like that. That almost every public university was free to attend.
That's as long as
you could pass the entrance exam. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You probably had to pay for some books and stuff like that, but your overall tuition was taken care of. Uh-huh. So you could go and get that degree you wanted. Uh-huh. You could, you know, you'd probably, if you want to get a master's, you're going to have to pay for that one. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? The thing is, what gets me is that this whole make America great again. Uh-huh. If your idea of that is post-World War II, 1950s America, if that is your idea of what making America great is again, taxes were high. We had a Democratic president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's changed it already. It's make America great now. He's just going with make America great.
But I think, I think the
tape is already on that one, man.
There were 338 like attacks against people wearing a MAGA hat. So yeah, the taint's there.
Yeah. I'm just saying the stigma to that, it's a
trigger.
Yeah, it is a trigger.
It's a trigger. It's definitely a.
And I'll say, to be fair, when I think he came up with the slogan "Make America Great Again," I don't think he was saying like "Let's make it great" back in slavery times.
I know he
was. I think that was a jab at Obama saying these past 8 years have been crap. Let's make America great again. Which I don't believe that, but I think that's what he was aiming at when he came up with that slogan.
Why say that? Like, I mean, I'm sorry. Like he said earlier, you grew up in a town where you've seen real racists, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you are you're older white male, right?
Right.
Older white male. You grew up in Meridian.
Mississippi. Right here.
You've seen it at a time from your perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Me growing up as a black male, mm-hmm, in the same era, like, not same era, but the same area, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I see things differently than you see. Can we get that?
So
when I listen to, I hear Trump or hear somebody like speak, it's certain things that trigger me to make me think of, okay, this, mm-hmm, is some racist shit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I've witnessed it.
But you have a preconceived notion that that's what you're going to get. All
right, well, on that point, talking about where I came up, I posted this the other day. My uncle was here in the sheriff's department, deputy sheriff. He was undercover for the FBI. He was a Republican busting up the Klan. Uh-huh. So I grew up seeing the Republicans as the people that's busting up the Klan. And that was, he was awarded the Law Enforcement Officer of the Year by Nixon. So it was already in the 70s. Yeah. So to me, Republicans meant anti-Klan, anti-racism, just like Abe Lincoln, you know, anti-racism, anti-slavery. So I've stuck with that. When I see Hillary, why all the Democrat? Why now? Blackface. The Attorney General of Virginia, the Governor of Virginia, wearing blackface in the 80s. Where'd he been? Where'd he been hanging out at?
I think that's really weird they come up with that blackface just all of a sudden, you know, Virginia, was it the governor of Virginia?
Yeah. Here goes a conspiracy. Wait.
And then you have, of course, Gucci and all of these other brands come up with blackface. It just seems like they're all capitalizing off the sensationalism of it.
Yeah. That's definitely.
Bread and games, man.
Yeah.
That's how you control a society, man. You give them food and you keep them entertained, and you got them.
You pull them out.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you guys, because I've heard both of you guys' opinions on this, and I think you may have varying opinions. Recently in New York, we know about the late-term abortion law. And just like we said, socialism is a hot word. Everybody saw late-term abortion and just immediately became triggered.
I'm already triggered. First off, the guy we were just talking about wearing blackface back in the 80s, the governor of Virginia, came out and said, he didn't say we're going to take the fetus and lay the fetus on the table and then discuss if we're going to let the fetus live or die. We're going to take the baby that's already born, because the woman paid for a dead baby, right? So she has a right to a dead baby, and laid the baby on the table. The baby. He didn't say fetus. And now he's going to discuss if we should let the baby live or die. I bust somebody. You know what? I used to be pro-life all the way up, just like Hillary and them, to the ninth month. And then I've came around in the years now, and I don't like hearing a man don't have a right to say anything, because when I saw my babies in the womb on the picture, and at 22 weeks, they can live outside of the womb, at 22 weeks. So when you or even my wife tell me that at 22, at 23 weeks, they can kill my baby, we got issues. Yeah. And I believe in individual rights and liberty, mm-hmm. and it starts. That's why I don't the first trimester, even in the second trimester, I believe a woman has a right to, even though I wouldn't do it personally, I believe she has that right. But when that baby can live outside of the womb on its own with an incubator or whatever, you're stepping in somewhere her individual rights is coming along, and then the baby's individual rights are already here, and they have the baby's individual rights catching up. And I think about 23 weeks there, 24 weeks, the baby's individual rights have caught up.
It may be possible, Paul, but I don't think it's the percentages of it surviving is low. But I will say this, there are some times where doctors have to make a choice. Doctors take oaths to save lives. So if at all possible, I think
an abortion doctor does not take an oath to save a life. But they kill them every day. Yeah. They stack them up on the
table. First of all, there's no such thing as an abortion doctor. They're called OBGYNs and gynecologists.
Oh, great. That's like splitting hairs there, man. Good deal.
What I'm saying is, first of all, I'm
triggered already, man.
I
love my babies, and I saw them in the womb on the sonogram, man. I'm already triggered when somebody's talking about killing them after that 23rd week right there. I'm already triggered. And you know what? It's like one of the one things that I think, man, I would almost get violent about that if someone tried to abort my or advise my wife or to abort that baby at 23 weeks. That baby can live outside the womb.
And like, just to say, let y'all know, Paul is like certified in all kind of martial arts, so it wouldn't be.
And I never use it. I don't want to get violent on anybody, but man, when I think about somebody trying to kill my baby at 23 weeks old, you know.
But Paul, you don't think a doctor an upstanding physician?
I don't trust no doctor. If he tells me my baby can kill that baby at 24, I don't care if he's a doctor 10 times over. That baby can live outside the womb.
It's possible, but what if it means that your wife would die?
Well, then even the Republican Party had exceptions for rape and incest till just recently. Now, I don't know what they're doing now, but that, you know, and I used to be pro, you know, anyway.
There's no upstanding physician.
I think that I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-choice because, like Paul, I believe in individual rights. Me personally, I would never want to have that. I would never want to have one, and I would probably feel the same way that you do. About a doctor coming in and telling me, you know, we got to do something about this. I would be broken up about it because I would not know what to do. Because, first of all, it's not my body. It's the mother and the child. And in my opinion,
well, who's speaking for the child?
What I'm saying is, whoever is carrying that child has more say in what happens to them and their body than anybody outside of it. I believe in full on autonomy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who has that in the world? What, they can tell you you can't use drugs, you can't do this to your body, you can't commit suicide, you can't do this. So why all of a sudden, when it actually involves another being, do you have the right to abort that baby?
I'm a problem, man. Yeah.
I'm saying, and I'm not saying, I think that late term abortions should be allowed in the event that you have rape or incest, or B, the pregnancy is ectopic in some way. The child is a danger to the mother.
That's not the laws they've just passed, though, in New York and these other cities. This is straight up infanticide, man.
I think that you do you believe that people want to have abortions?
See, that's
wait,
the point.
Wait a minute. They gave exceptions for women who are emotionally unstable, emotionally what? So if she just breaks up with her husband and the baby is like, you know, 8 months old, the doctor will say, hey, she's unstable, we can abort the baby. So yeah, anybody that aborts a baby at 8 months is gonna be mentally unstable.
I don't think that any doctor's first choice is, this woman's crazy, we should abort the baby. I don't think that that's the initial thought at all. In fact I would be horrified to
find it can be under the law that's just passed.
And I don't know,
just because it can be does not mean it will be.
And I don't know,
I don't need that that kind of law. I don't need that left up to nobody.
My question is, though, is do you think that there are women out there that actively want to have an abortion? Like, are you?
Yeah, I'm not
going
to have one in 6 weeks.
Happens?
I'm going to wait to 39 weeks to have an abortion. You know what I mean?
There are some that's going to do it. What if they get it? What if they break up with the guy that they were going to marry, and then they say, well, you know, and then, like, say if I'm in the 8th month of pregnancy.
Forget this baby.
And she leaves me. And she goes, hey, I don't want to have, I'm done with you, you know. Maybe I did something horrible. And she's going to leave me. And so.
Oh, you leave her. And then she gets mad at you.
And what percentage, of women who
it
have.
It doesn't matter. 1%. No. 0.5%. It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. You can't kill babies at late-term abortions. Listen.
No one has wanted to kill a baby at 39 weeks.
I'm going to tell my daughters, you can abort. Yeah, I don't even like to say the word abort. But you can, you've got choice until around. You better get it done by into the fifth month. You better figure it out by the 5th month. I'm gonna tell my daughters, because at the 5th month, that baby has some rights. That's a being in there. In fact, my atheist friend used to make the argument. This is not a religious based argument. My atheist friend used to say, that is a unique individual. If you believe in God, at least it gets to go into heaven now. But if you're an atheist, you just killed out a completely unique, special individual. So, no, you can't. And I think that's why the Democrats going to go down in flames.
That's like the 23rd.
Because people believe they have a right to do that. The Democrats have lost their damn minds.
Nobody's wanting to get rid of their baby. Nobody really in their right
mind.
They
do it all the time, and it ain't got to be a right mind. It doesn't say if you're in it specifically says if you're not in your right mind, you get to do it.
That's a diagnosis, though, Paul. They're just not
saying
that.
On the same note, Kentucky just passed a bill to make abortions after the 5th week illegal. So
yes.
Most women
standing up for my daughter's rights on that. Saying,
no,
look,
but no. What I'm saying is that most women don't even know that they're pregnant until the 6th or the 7th week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're stuck.
They're literally stuck. So what happens now? What happens to a 14 or a 15 year old girl who gets raped by her uncle, and she's carrying his baby. She's got to carry that baby, even though she doesn't want to, because she can't have anything done.
I would advise my daughter that she has the morning after pill. As soon as she's raped, she'd go to the hospital. It would be immediately given the pill to take care of.
But what if she doesn't tell you?
The thing about that, the thing about that is,
then she has to do it before the baby's in its 5th month. 5th month when it can live outside.
You're talking about Kentucky.
I'm talking about in Kentucky, but she can't.
Oh, right. Okay.
But she can't because.
Well, that's not going to stand up to court. So even though Kavanaugh is going to vote, the Catholic, well, actually there are a bunch of Catholics on it now, are going to say that in the 5th week it is legal to have it's free.
So you just, she can just travel to another state where it is legal? Is that what you're?
Well, no, it's not. Kentucky's going to be overturned. Their law, the Supreme Court is going to rule against that, the 5th week. Even the one with heartbeat is what in the, I can't
week
remember.
Seven.
Supreme Court is going to overturn that too. So I'm not, I even though I'm religious and I believe in God, I'm not arguing on a religious basis. And I know you don't want to hear it. So I'm just telling you on a.
Speaking of religion.
By the way, are you agnostic or atheist?
Because
see, when I was atheist, I was a capital A theist, right? Agnostics are kind of weak in my view, so I just wonder.
No, see, I actually believe.
I'm back to God now.
Okay. It's just my opinion. Of course, we don't have any proof. I believe in the God, but. What God is, I have no idea what God is.
That's good. That's fair.
My thing, I don't conform to religion. To one particular one.
I just heard it the other day. Religion is, I posted it.
The church
it,
is the first form of government. Man.
Religion is when you do something wrong and you don't want your dad to know because he's going to be angry. God is like, you've done something wrong, but you're going to go tell your dad. Like, Dad, I messed up. Right? So one's religion and one is a
belief. So you're more relationship as opposed to religion as a whole. Like, it's about the relationship. It's not about the religion. Like that.
True. A religion has been from.
I think you're God. I think he's God. I think he's God. I think everybody is
here.
I think we share a collective in it. I think everybody. That's why you treat other people the way you want to be treated. That's why you do right by the person next to you. That's right.
I think that a lot of things are plausible. I think that a lot of things are plausible. I think that whether you're of the Christian leaning or the Hindu leaning. You know, you either want to believe in something or you don't believe in anything.
Well, I like what Jordan Peterson says. I mean, I don't know if you ever heard him. But anyway, he said that even if he didn't believe in God, he would act as if he did believe in God. Because if you don't, except that it's going to leave one of these postmodern hells where there really are no values. And if you once you leave God out of your philosophy, you might still have some remnants of your religion and can choose good and bad. But the philosophers, the leading thinkers who are atheists, say there are no values. You can't even judge. You can't even get down, if you're talking to the leading postmodern philosophers, that murder is wrong or that there's no values once you leave that. So even if...
No, I don't believe that, Paul. I don't
that's
think
true. That's what the philosophers are saying. Y'all might have your opinion, but your leading thinkers of people who do not believe in God, the ones that are sitting up in the ivory tower right now, do not believe there can be any values once you leave God behind without religion.
I don't think that's correct.
Well, okay, well, then y'all need to go study philosophy, and once you study it, you're going to find out that, hey, every one of them says
there's no values. They're not arguing whether or not they said that. They're arguing whether it's right or not. Like, I kind of feel like, too, that, you know, it is a good argument to say that without a religion, you have no morality, but I still don't believe that
we as human beings have
an innate idea of what is right and what is wrong.
I know lots of moral people who do not believe in God. I have some great atheist friends who are very moral people, but still, though, they haven't taken their philosophical argument all the way to the end, which the postmodern philosophers do, and there are no values there. You come up with nothing. That's why I came back to God, because I stood in that abyss. I looked in the abyss, and I said, man, I don't want that abyss, man.
See, I don't agree with that, Paul. I think there are a lot of atheists that have a lot of morals. I think you would find
the
atheists.
They do. I just said they do.
But I'm saying, you saying they don't have any values, though?
No, I'm saying that their philosophy, if they follow it to its ultimate end, you might have stopped. You might have stopped right here. Nah, I'm hanging out with these values. I think it's pretty good. You know, I just threw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, the baby, you know, I kept the bathwater, but threw out the baby. But the philosophers that all the way to the end, the postmodern philosophers, where they are saying there are no values, not even no values, that we can't, a word, you take any word, there's no value in a word. You can't even speak a sentence. And they'll challenge you on every word, and every word has a history. You can't even the ultimate end of the philosophy without a God is miserable. And I believe that if you believe in God, even if it's your choice of God, if you're trapped under rubble, you got a better chance of living. If you're dying of a disease, you know, atheism can't go into prison and make people redeem people. You can't go into a hospital with atheism and make people feel good. You can't tell my daughters who are going, hey, Dad, you're going to die. Atheism doesn't do anything for them. I believe that even if there wasn't a God, I believe there's a God, but even if there wasn't a God, we evolved as humans, consciousness, you know, we're going to die. I believe that it's actually part of our very evolution that's necessary to believe in a God, even if there wasn't one. But I believe in God, because if you didn't really believe, if you just went, oh, I'm going to take it because I get some benefits of saying I believe in God, like Bill Clinton would do or something like that, you know. No, you got to really believe to get the redemption, you know. And even if you said, oh, Paul, what you believe is stupid. Bro, I got redemption. I believe I am forgiven, man. You can call it a joke, but I'm really, but the psychological benefits of believing that I am forgiven.
But I don't think you need forgiveness. I think you're a good guy without religion.
Well, man, I need forgiveness.
Because I think that if it works for you and it makes your life complete and it compels you to be a good person and that type of thing, I'm cool with it. Yeah. My problem with religion is when you interject it into our politics and we get your Bible thumping and the hypocrisy that usually comes along with the evangelical right.
I honestly believe Christianity is the direct influence of Christianity is what has held black people at a discourse.
At what?
Has held black people at a discourse.
At a discourse.
It keeps them from elevating and thinking different.
Man, I believe. I'm just saying. I believe the belief in God is the only way you can get through a life of slavery.
I don't think because I look at like the
denigration
what they
interject. Well, I'm curious to know in what ways you think that it has.
I'll take some people in my family. Like when it comes to certain things and certain ways of thinking about certain things, like it keeps you from having an open mind about things. You get what I'm saying? Like, it keeps you caged in.
Have you watched the two killings of Sam Cooke?
I haven't. I've been meaning to watch
the documentary. You need to watch that because what you're saying. Okay, so basically, Sam Cooke was a gospel singer, right?
Uh-huh.
And he went around. He toured with this really big African American gospel group, but he wanted to record pop music. Like he wanted to write his own songs. He wanted to record pop music, but because he's in this really big, you know, they're touring all over the country. So because he's in this really big gospel group, he was afraid that if he did leave gospel and go record pop music, he would be shunned by his community. Mm-hmm. So I think what you're saying is that fervent clinging to the church, because let's be honest, that's something. I don't care. It doesn't really matter if you're black or not. If you're poor and you feel disenfranchised, the church is that is it for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is a place that you can go get fed. Yeah. That is a place that you can have somebody have a conversation with you. That's a place that you're not going to get hassled by the cops. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's,
like,
I mean,
forsake everything.
Well, look, I'm Catholic, right? And I converted to Catholicism. I was raised Pentecostal, went into atheism.
I've always
American.
Been really curious about Catholicism.
Okay, but anyway, the reason I went to it is because I mean, it's just like my martial arts. I like to learn from the man who learned from the man who learned from the man. The same with Catholics. They learn from the man and learn from the man, and they can trace it all the way back to the thing. My dad got the Holy Ghost anyway, I don't want to go there.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
Is it the ritual? Is that
actually?
I
went through a Buddhist phase, right? I went through my atheist time. I became Buddhist since I was kind of Buddhist, and I really I was raised in Pentecostal church where you dance and sing and praise God and everything.
You lay the hands.
Yes, absolutely. But I actually love the ritual. I believe it's like a meditation for me.
Yeah.
So it's like a meditation. I use it just like when I used to meditate as a Buddhist.
It's the stoicism of it.
And the whole thing about the Catholic Church is that you go through this. I mean, it's communion. That's what you go to church for, is to have communion with God. And on the subject of that, because y'all was talking about this in the last one, in your first podcast, was the pedophilia thing and everything, okay? I always tell this when I say I'm Catholic. The second largest amount of sexual abuse cases in churches is, do you know which church it is? It's the second largest group, which is the Southern Baptists. Do you know which the third largest amount of sexual abuse cases are in churches? The third largest sect, which is the Church of Christ. So you're going to have pedophiles across the board, no matter which group. And the Catholics are the biggest group. And that, although I was getting back to about what you were saying about holding you back, both Pelosi is a Catholic and Newt Gingrich is a Catholic. I have, my Catholic church is as diverse as it can be. My church is so diverse, man. It's like got Asians, blacks, Latinos, everybody in my church when I go to mass, and so I like that diversity in the church.
On that note, I don't think that the pedophilia has anything to do with the religion at all. I think it has pedophiles doing what it takes to put themselves in positions of power so that they can take advantage of those they feel are lesser
and,
than them.
And because
that has way more to do with it than
and because
than
the Catholic
religion.
Church, they don't allow marriage, and so I think maybe a lot of people kind of went into
now,
that.
Now, the Catholic priesthood. Church, the Catholic Church's handling of these cases,
they've been slack.
Very, very poor. I can't argue.
See, this is the problem that I have with religion. There's over 4,200 religions in the world. And it's usually based on geographical location. Mm-hmm. I'm born in the United States, so I was conditioned to believe in Christianity, and that was the right religion. Mm-hmm. Had I been born in Afghanistan, I might have been born, probably would have been born Islamic, and I would have thought that was the right religion, and Christians are crazy. Mm-hmm. Had I been born in India, it probably would have been Hinduism. Mm-hmm. Had I been born in China, probably Buddhism. So how can there be that many different religions if there's one God and only one way to God? How can there be that many different religions to get you there?
I've never met any two people that agree on anything completely on everything. So you're going to have that different breakdown of, like you said, different.
But God is.
So this is. I thought about this too, and this is kind of funny the way that I thought about it. Like, okay, I kind of look to take your different societies and make them planets. Like, America is a planet. The Middle East is a planet. This is a planet. China's a planet. All these places with these different. So, like, for instance, say there's another planet out there, but it's covered with, like, lizard people, right? Since we were talking about Alex Jones, we'll talk about lizard people, right? If there is another planet and there is only one God, is there a lizard? Like, do they get a lizard Jesus, or do they get a lizard Buddha, or you know, what is it? I think that all religions are based on the human need to feel like there is something out there,
something
greater
above
than
their
you.
Control.
Right? Yeah. There's something out there greater than you. That is a human instinct. Because think about it. Even when you're a little bitty baby, before you even understand the concept of God, mommy and daddy are God.
Oh, you're God.
Well, you know what I mean? Like,
right. But all right. But let's just put it to think of it this way, though. It doesn't matter which place you grew up in. Let's say you become Muslim or Jewish or you're Christian or whatever. You know, the thing is that you take a family that is a Muslim family or a Jewish family or a Christian family that is following the word of God, they are more successful than any other group for 2,000 years now.
So what do you define success?
Success would be like they have more money. They have more security. They have more everything. They across the board, the statistics would show that people who stay married, stay religious, and it's just like, I know Muslim families the same way, man. You got to respect the way the Muslim families are tight and, so it's a very successful way of doing things.
It's a really good way to stay out of trouble is what it is.
It's a very good way to stay out of trouble.
On a slight diversion, do y'all believe there's life on other planets out there, man?
I do.
I do too, man. I don't see how it couldn't be.
I think it's selfish,
and I think that it's narcissistic to believe that in a universe that is ever expanding, it's literally getting bigger every day, to think that we are the only intelligent life.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I kind of left atheism.
Is ridiculous, yeah. Because it's literally a Googleplex of numbers. Mm-hmm. How big the universe is. We can't even fathom how big it is. Mm-hmm. There's probably a pretty good chance that now. I've thought about this too. We may be the most evolved at this point for one reason or another. Nope. You know.
See, and my coworkers talk about this all the time, man, and we debate this. Are we the only life form out there? And the thing that I like to think about is, oftentimes we think about other life forms. We think about aliens. We see movies with aliens. They're usually more advanced than us.
Are we gonna get? Are we getting into some aliens? Is that where we're going?
What if we are the more advanced species, and they look at us like is there other life out there that's more advanced?
I think that anything is plausible.
Anything is plausible.
Yeah. I literally think that, and tying this into the religion thing, I think that it is literally just as plausible that aliens genetically modified apes to make us into a slave nation, pretty much, to mine gold for their atmosphere, as it is that God sent his only begotten son to die for our sins and save our everlasting souls.
And that's
I think those two things are literally just as plausible.
Well,
as
you could say that God and angels are aliens. So
perception is everything, dude.
I see a movie script here.
But see, the point that I'm trying to get to is Paul talking about God. If you think there's other life form out there, then what religion are they following?
That's what I was getting at, like the lizard planet thing. Like,
well, I think the metaphors that are talked about in the Bible are universal. They would work just as well for the Martians or for the aliens.
But why would they have the Bible if it's on a different planet with totally different?
It wouldn't be the Bible. It would be their Bible, and it would be speaking. It would, like, I don't believe that the Bible is literal. Some people do. I know, understand that, but I believe it's more important as its metaphors. That the metaphors we get from them are so valuable. And it's like, if it just said, exactly what, like, scientific kind of wrote out, that's not useful. It's actually, metaphors speak to everybody and every culture and everything. And so you can kind of
I think if you keep it vague enough, regardless of what your religious text is, you can apply it to.
Well, again, we're talking about one more successful than any other group that's done anything.
Shout out to the next 1,000 years, because we might come up on the book of hip hop. I just wish
the Abrahamic religions would make their mind up. You know what I mean? Like,
right. See, the point
is,
it's a family feud.
Who is it, dude?
Like, and speaking about the Bible, I saw something recently where they said Trump was wanting to incorporate.
I will say this, I don't think that's a Trump thing. I think that's a Betsy DeVos thing.
Betsy DeVos.
And he's just like, whatever about it. You know what I mean?
Well,
I think that.
Do y'all think it should be incorporated in schools?
I think it'd be really cool to have a religion class. I don't necessarily think that you can teach the Bible in school and not go over the Quran and the Vedic texts and all of the Buddhist philosophy and stuff like that. You can't. That anything. That's why there are private schools, in my opinion. That is why there are private schools. If you want to send your child to a school that teaches religion of the Christian nature, send them to private school. That's what
I think private school does a lot for, other than like, because like even on the form of teaching kids about money and debt and things like that. Like
actually, there's a meme going around that was like, I don't need to learn that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. I need to learn how to do my taxes.
Exactly.
Bro, I learned how to do my taxes in high school. There is a class, as a senior at West Lauderdale, I took Economics 1 and Economics 2.
Okay.
And I learned how to do my taxes, and I learned how the stock market works.
And you still use this to this day.
Yeah.
And see what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that's something that's put emphasis on in school that we need to be.
Yeah, you need life skills, not just another gym class.
But I think it's in the construct of capitalism to keep us in the mind of being working for somebody and staying in debt and continue to owe people.
I will say this.
Capitalism is not like an ideology. Capitalism is
an
economic system.
Okay.
Which is the best one for free people to use. It's the only one. I mean,
let's be honest.
It's like we're free. The economic system is free.
I mean, communist Russia kind of sucked. I don't know, like
communism what?
Communist Russia kind of sucked. Like, right. They did. All you got to do, look, Google communist Russia cars, and that is literally all you need to know about extreme socialism. I'm not a socialist. I don't want that to come across. I'm not a socialist. I believe in capitalism.
I just think of balancing act.
I think that you have to have a balance of both.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, one thing that you have to accept when you have social programs is that there is a percentage of people out there that are going to take advantage
of. Oh, they're
going to
abuse the shit out of
it. They're going to. And it's literally no different. That, to me, is no different than the Koch brothers using every single tax loop that they can to pay as little as they possibly can back into the U.S. government. The two are in the same ballpark.
And that's a big problem I have because, and I hate to criticize you, Paul, but I see a lot of conservatives. They're always talking about welfare and little Timmy getting a free lunch at school. We don't want to fund these kids. But they don't talk about the corporate subsidies that we're paying for.
Well, all right.
Or all the money that we're investing.
You just said it's subsidies. Okay, that usually means that the taxes that they're paying, they're not going to give as much. So the money they made, they're going to give less of when other programs are straight to them. So you understand? It's a different concept altogether.
Flat tax.
That's like right now, like with the border and everything. And like right now, if you come across the border and if, say, you're a woman with three kids, and you come across the border and file for asylum, you're immediately eligible for health care, food stamps, asylum. Not illegal. Illegal can't get anything. But the ones that come across and file asylum,
they have refugee status.
So they immediately are for welfare, food stamps, housing, for education. And so we have all these people here now who are working poor. It's going to create some friction when you see the new asylum people move in next door and they're not going to work every day and they're
I don't believe that those people are the ones that's going to sit around on their ass and not do nothing.
How is the mother with three kids not going to sit around?
I mean, she's going to find a way. Like,
no, you can't. Well, she will lose her food stamps then.
Like, I mean, but I don't think that she's going to just be sitting there just waiting for a chick to come.
I think that there's a common misconception that illegals are coming over here just to be lazy.
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue with them at all.
Let me first say this. I'm in drywall, painting, plaster, construction. I've only been outworked by a few men, and they've been Latino-Mexican. So I'm not saying.
Yeah.
But if there's a system set up where you can come across and claim asylum and come in and start getting, human nature is to take those benefits.
But if you come from a place where you don't have that, that's not afforded to you, and you come in and take advantage of that, you're going to do what you can to make your life better. Like, I think the people that abuse it are the ones that's been here for generations.
Yeah, no,
they have learned from their mom and dad.
There's more on that, because race, people think
there are more white people.
There are more white people.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the construct, though. Right, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, it's more people that's been here forever that live off that, like, generation to generation.
The refugee status is one thing, but the majority of the illegal aliens that we have here, They are working. They came over here on a visa to begin with. They have overstayed their visa.
Like 21 Savage.
Listen, listen, I know a lot of, there's a certain word for it, because I work with a lot of Latinos on the job sites and everything, and they've told me about, you know, it's a certain word they use. It's called, have you made the trip yet? Which they come over across the border illegally. It's a certain word. What? It's something like that, but it's in Spanish, you know, and so you know, most of them do come over here to work and are very hard workers. But at the same time, my brother was shot and killed by an illegal immigrant. So I see all the hardworking immigrants. I see all that. But when you can't even, like, you know, what's it called? Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the cities?
Sanctuary cities.
When you can't even arrest the people who are committing actual crimes because they're giving them sanctuary.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that your brother was statistically more likely to get shot and killed by a Mexican than he was a white guy or a black guy or a Native American?
Now I already know. 82% of the white people that get killed are killed by white people.
Yeah. No, that's what
90% of the black people that get killed are killed by black people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all killing our own selves more than anything else.
Right. You congregate with each other.
My thing is, I feel like your brother, and don't get me wrong, I'm not, God rest his soul.
He could have been killed by the white dude more higher odds, but still, when you tell me that everybody coming here is just
I'm not saying everybody, but I say all that to get to this point. Like, I think that problem is minute to the other problems that we're facing. I don't think it's supposed to be this big of an impact on other things that we have going on. As far as the law is concerned,
I'm still not convinced that it's not Trump's elaborate plan to line the pockets of his butt contractor buddies.
And to control the base of his people that's voted for him. I mean, that's all it's for.
In our prison system right now, we have about 28%.
To me, that's a bigger issue.
28% Latinos in prison. You know, I just heard this is a crazy statistic too. Do you know it's like 37% African Americans in our prisons, 32% whites in our prisons, and then 25 or something Latino. But for women, 49% of the women in prison are white women, and only 20% are African American women.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think our prison system. To me, the brokenness of for-profit prisons and stuff like that is a bigger issue to me than the immigration issue.
Exactly.
Well, thank God Trump passed that prison reform bill, which, you know,
I hope it works.
Well, you know, it took him and Kanye West.
It's hard to call yourself the land of the free when you have more incarcerated people per capita.
When you give people
that
much freedom, you know, they can mess up. That's the thing about that much freedom, you know.
But because being free.
So what you would say is that
being free.
So what you're saying is with freedom, there is a percentage of people that are going to take advantage of that freedom, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you wouldn't take freedom away.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No,
I feel the same way about social programs.
That's just like, well, again, social programs is fine. We're talking socialism, but that's the Second Amendment.
Well, I think the philosophy applies to both ideas, though.
I think so, too.
Like what now?
The philosophy applies to both ideas, though. You don't just get rid of freedom because a certain percentage of people are taking advantage of it.
We're not going to get rid of social programs. We're not. Nobody. It's not.
I'm just saying. I'm relating the philosophy.
Socialism, though, is completely different. It is a ideology.
Oh, I don't. I'm not for
group rights over individuals.
I don't want a state. I don't want a state-run economy at all. I'm not. I don't want to give that impression.
Well, this has been great. to me, I'm not a novice when it comes to politics. It's one I wanted to say before we got started. I follow politics as I think the way the typical American does. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you come across, you see it, you don't just jump into it. You know, you don't get indulged, which I can see y'all guys do a whole lot more of research. I just like live and see things and for what it is, for what I can tell, you know what I mean? Use my logic to kind of bring it all together and make sense of it. That's why I think it's great to have conversations with people that either know more to you. Like, I don't want to be in the room with I'm the smartest person in the room that know every. I'd rather be in a room with somebody who knows. I like just listening to y'all and getting understanding from both sides of the aisle is really dope, which I think a lot more people should really do. You know what I mean? To get away from my understanding.
The only real argument that Paul and I have had is not even really based on. I mean, we had like an argument, a moral. We'll call it a moral argument
about
as far
the abortion
as the abortion thing is
yeah.
concerned. But
yeah.
other than that, I mean,
I think everybody's out of eye.
Yeah,
we didn't get to.
But I think.
Hey, by the way, I am a practitioner of and a supporter of the Second Amendment. I just want to say
I believe my daughter should completely.
But I don't believe that you should be able to buy C4 and a rocket launcher and a drone with a gun attached to it. We'll say that. If your argument is that the Second Amendment will always be there just in case the state decides to turn on its citizens, we lose that fight every single time. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would fight. I'd take up my gun. I would fight the government, but they have drones.
Yeah, we're going to lose that fight anyway.
Wait a minute.
Afghanistan has fought off two superpowers with a gun.
Oh, guerrilla warfare works.
So it will fight off governments. They fought off two superpowers.
You're also looking at people that were raised off of AK-47s and they get AK-47 at 12 years old.
It would not go well in the South.
No,
it wouldn't. That campaign would be like Hitler getting frozen up in Russia. Like we're going back up a little bit, but this is as far as we're going.
Most people are really too comfortable anyway. I was just talking about this friend today that we're not going to, if they came and actually said, going to take your guns, most of us are going to give up our guns if the government forces to give up our guns.
Yeah, because you got one gun.
I'd rather be here for them than die.
And we just saw recently what happened in New Zealand with the mass shooting, and the guys were filming it. And I don't know if New Zealand, I heard something that they were in the process of already banning assault weapons.
Right.
But I don't know if that's the case. Mm-hmm. I want to know
what they define as an assault weapon, though. Because, I mean, the U.S. has a completely different interpretation of the term assault weapon than
any
other
country. Well, they're saying semi-automatic, which would be everything.
Yeah, everything. Anything that doesn't have a lever or a revolver on it.
And I'm not for taking guns away, but semi-automatics, their only job is to kill as many people as possible.
I think that if you want a society that handles guns better, you should have the same restrictions on buying a gun that you do on purchasing a car or something like that.
No.
I think that you should have a license. I think that you should be trained how to use it and clean it.
No.
You don't believe that, Paul?
No, man. Right. I have the right to that. I don't have a right to drive my car on a public road because it's a public road, but a right to for me to just say, hey, I'm going to get some steel and fill it all together and get some gunpowder and boom, I got me an AK-4. That's my right.
Listen, you have a right to drive. But you had to get a license.
A right to drive
his
on your
his
own
argument
property.
Is that his,
like if I have 2,000 acres, I have a right to drive anything.
Driving is not a right. It's a privilege.
Thank you.
It is a privilege.
Right.
And I will agree on your definition of right. I still also think that there should be a certain amount of training and a certain amount of qualifications in order to purchase a gun.
All right,
Somebody is mentally unstable and noticeably so and has
history. How do you define mentally unstable? Someone who's like a veteran who's on anxiety or something because he has post-traumatic stress. Are you supposed to take his gun away now because he went to got anxiety or he said, I'm depressed. So is that you're going to take his gun away? That's what they're proposing to do. So I even get wary on that right there. Even on domestic violence. Like if my mama was to catch my dad messing around and my mama went and beat my dad down because messing around and all of a sudden now she can't own a gun because of domestic violence, I don't even think then.
I elect the Chris Rock effect and charge $5,000 for a box of bullets.
Don't they charge it already?
You would be careful who you shoot. You have to pay $5,000 for some bullets. I'm sorry.
I believe my daughters should literally be able to carry a pistol anywhere on their body from one end of this country to the other end of this country. I don't believe they have to wait for the police to get there to defend them. I believe they should be able to carry their guns.
They should be able to protect themselves, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
But they also should be trained.
They should know. They should respect the weapon.
Like right now, my girls are already learning. I call it BB gun ethics. And they're already learning now with the BB gun. You don't point the gun around. Even with the BB gun, I leave the BB gun laying around so that they see the BB gun. I'll even cock it without a BB gun in it. So if it went off, they would. So I'm teaching them BB gun ethics. Now, that's not everybody's not going to do that. I understand.
Yeah.
But still, though, You know, if you get to, if you start saying, "Oh, I've got to be licensed for it. I got to go to a class for it." It's not a right anymore. It's
approved. But you need to go. Special question: do you think it should be a proper way of selling them? Like, if you think the gun show law?
No,
you think that's
You can sell fruit any way you want. Well, I know we have the FDA.
I mean, I don't heard about
fruit.
Dying about
fruit doesn't kill people.
A fruit buy, you know,
fruit does kill people. Bad tainted fruit can kill people.
So that's just like I should give you a license to a vehicle.
But if I hand you drive
again, man, again, that's not a right.
I'm not saying a right. I'm just saying, should I give you a license to drive if you never have driven a car before?
Well, you can stop me from having that privilege.
I think that I will say this, and look, I am a gun owner. I grew up around guns. I'm not saying what I believe as a person that is ignorant to firearms. I'll handle them. I shoot them on, you know, I grew up around them. I had a BB gun. You know what I mean? My dad taught me those, you respect it because you're literally holding death in your hands. This will kill anything you point it at. Mm-hmm. I get that. I think that, however, if you want to, and we already have this in place, if you want to own certain types of weapons, you should be trained how to use them. I mean, you can buy Tannerite with the proper licensing. So what your argument is that it's a right to own a firearm. Is it a right to own any kind of firearm? Is it a right to own explosives if you want to? Is it a right to...
I always kind of saw it as an individual, anything that I can use to protect myself against, like, so even the AK-47 would be on the right. But once you get, say, an atomic bomb, or I'm not defending my life anymore. I'm blowing up the whole neighborhood, which would, you know, you couldn't own that. But anything, you know, you think about, oh, he don't need an AK-47, but, you know, what if all of a sudden, you know, there's chaos in the streets and the zombies are coming? And trust me, the zombies can come. It's, historically speaking, not zombies, but I mean crazy people. We just look on history. They're going to come. So you might need to shoot 20 people. Now, personally, on that, having that been said, I don't even want to say this because I might get attacked, but I don't even own a gun. I'm really fighting this for my daughters. My daughters, I was born with that right. I don't exercise that right, but I want my daughters to be packing their whole life because I don't trust men. I don't trust men around my daughters.
Oh, yeah, we're kind of garbage.
To use that gun with the proper training, if they just have a gun and they get in a situation where...
Well, I mean, I do. I don't own a gun personally. I'm going to. I need to get one immediately, like right after this, because some people don't think I'm not carrying now. but I mean, I do. I practice all the time pulling, you know, BB gun out of the holster, firing with the, you know, I'm a dead shot, you know, with a BB gun and everything. So I practice all the time. I watch videos on it. But I don't own a gun. I don't know why I don't own a gun, really. No. But I don't, you know.
I think it's almost like, yeah, we have the right to have a gun, but it's also a privilege thing, too. I mean, if you don't know how to use it, then what's the point of having it?
Yeah. Well, I got my first shotgun when I was 12 years old. It was like Merry Christmas. And I went out in the woods and I shot things up.
Yeah,
squirrels and
yeah, dude.
Have you seen the Christmas story? What happened when you played with BB guns, man?
Right.
No, I grew up the same way. I grew up when I was in Boy Scouts. We shot skeet. You know what I mean? I got my badge for that. You know, I'm not a person who's ignorant to firearms or has never used.
And if anybody out there has a gun that they're want to get rid of at a really good price, you can let me know.
Hey, won't you just post this to the Lauderdale County Buy Share?
We'll just go across the street tomorrow and just get you one. Yeah, we got a gas across the street. Yeah, but
well, gentlemen. It's been a very good conversation.
We didn't even touch on Venezuela, man.
Look, this is what I think we should do. Once a month, we bring these guys back and we go over everything. I think this is because I love the conversation. I like
current affairs.
Yeah.
Well, see, I work in construction and I just get to listen all day, man. I go from CNN, MSNBC.
I will say this too: if you are not diversifying where you're getting your news, you're doing it wrong.
You're part of the problem.
I can sit there and talk to somebody for 2 minutes and tell exactly which news channel they listen to, and if they're only listening to
Reddit,
one or multiple.
Hey, Reddit. Reddit is a user-controlled source of news. It's the most unbiased source for news you're probably going to get.
Let me tell you guys. Let me tell you guys this, though. I watched the news maybe 2 days ago, and the lead on the news, the first story was the New Zealand shooting. The second one was the Ethiopian plane crash. What was the third one? The Gambino, head of Gambino family got killed. Mm-hmm. And then it was the Venezuelan crisis. I mean, it was so depressing, man. I was like, I wonder how the people function every day having to watch this. And I don't watch TV as much as I do.
I don't either.
When I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I just almost been like, I disassociate from the news now. Because
I would like to do that. I've tried to do it, but I just can't. I feel like I'm missing a train wreck, man. It's like,
It was a train wreck. I mean, everything was just, it was just so bad. But at some point, I just don't want to see the train wreck anymore.
I had this dream one time, and it was crazy. My friend, I hope we're running around time, but I had this dream. I was in a garden, and I was working in the garden, and I was enjoying it. The sun was out and everything. I was going, man, this is great, man. Sun growing the trees. And then Obama showed up just in the dream. And so I said, oh, my God, I got to get an autograph from Obama. And I ran and I woke up. And so my friend told me, well, see, you was in the garden, man. And it was no politics in the garden.
I wish I dreamed about Obama. I had a dream about Lil Peep, and I was disappointed.
Sometimes I have some dreams that be so good, then you wake up, and it's like, damn, back to my real life. And I try to go back to sleep so I can get back to that dream.
There are certain dreams I want a sequel to. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know what happened.
Well, I met an interesting person, a dream of mine, just last week. I posted about it. And I mean, I really dug this person, man. I was like, wow. And then I woke up and I went, they don't even exist, man.
There was a story. There was a story.
That person was you.
There was a story that came out. And I saw this on Reddit. There was a story, this kid who was like a freshman in college or something like that, got in a fight and got beat up by a football player. And I mean, like, severely concussed. And while he said, while he was unconscious, he dreamed, you know, he woke up, he met this girl that was there, they got married, they had kids, they had this life for like 25 years. he had this life. And when he came back to consciousness, he realized, like, in his dream, he started going a little crazy. He was like, this lamp, it doesn't look right. And it progressively got worse. He got really depressed in his dream to the point that he didn't leave the couch. He just stared at this lamp. And then when he came back to consciousness in the real world, he realized it was all a dream. And he went into like this like super severe depression afterwards because like the wife that he fell in love with and married and the kids, like they didn't exist at all. It was just all in his brain.
Wow. I actually heard that story. Somebody was telling it on like a YouTube video.
It's crazy what the mind can conceive.
The human mind is a brilliant and terrifying.
Yes.
Before we go, fellas, I guess we can briefly touch on the Venezuelan crisis.
That's why I'm not a socialist. That's why I'm not a hardcore socialist. Because that is what you get when you give, in my opinion, when you give one man too much power. It was a perfect storm because when Chavez got it, and we're not even talking about, you know, the guy right now. Chavez is the guy who did it. He was it 2014? He died, and he named his successor. There was no vote. There was no, I mean, he just like, this is my guy now. That entire scheme was set up to get the most control by Chavez from the very beginning, and it worked because the first thing he did when he got elected is he abolished the Constitution. He put together his own, what would be our House of Representatives to represent the people, and took control of the economy. And 50% of that economy was based on oil production. And it's really easy to keep people, bread and games, dude. It's really easy to keep people happy and in your favor when you've got enough money to feed them and house them and do all these social welfare, you know, social welfare projects and stuff like that. Guess what happened in 2014? That bottom fell out. Oil prices per barrel got cut by half, which means your economy is devastated. You know? Yeah. So I think that's what you get when you get extreme socialism. I'm not in favor of that at all. And I feel really, really bad about the people of Venezuela for having to go through. Thank God for countries.
Do you think we should go in and...
We're already sending a lot of. There are not the necessarily the federal government, but there are a lot of people sending care packages over there. A lot of people trying to ship in food and stuff like that. I think Colombia just took in 1 million refugees from Venezuela, which is I hope Colombia has the infrastructure and the government power to handle that type of thing because it can get overwhelming. I mean, just look at we had Hurricane Katrina and Houston was flooded with refugees. Meridian even got a lot of them, you know, a lot of the surrounding states, and that was taxing and tough on those communities and stuff like that. But props to Colombia for taking the refugees. I don't I don't know that we'll have to, if I'm honest. I think that eventually you're going to end up with some French Revolution type stuff, and the people are going to finally have enough and do it themselves. You know.
And on that note, fellas.
Before we go, big shout out to my guy, Tony O'Naylor, Donald the Digital, let us use his facility this day to film the podcast. Big shout out to that guy, man. Y'all need him. We're going to put a little link at the bottom. Y'all can hit him.
Yeah, subscribe to the YouTube, man. We got our Facebook page, PDAWF Podcast. Please don't argue with facts. Subscribe to the YouTube page, the same name, PDAWF.
Also, big shout out to my guy, Calvo, and my guy, B-Rye. For filming today, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And big shout out to our special guest, Paul Joyner, Caleb Martin. It's been a pleasure, guys. We'll definitely have to do it. We ran a little long today, but it's all good because it's a good conversation. It was much needed. We'll have to definitely have a part two.
Part three, part four, part five.
Yeah. We appreciate you guys for being here. Before we go, I have one more question to ask briefly. Are you still down?
Always down.
I'm down.
And there you have it.